This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFK. If you're not already a member, consider joining with us and keep free speech alive.
Not me. I don't want to rule the world. I just want to report on it. Like if somebody started ruling it sanely. Welcome. It's the Bradcast. I am back once again. Brad Friedman. Delighted to be here with you on Pacifica Radio's KPFK 90.7 FM in Los Angeles. 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara, 93.7 FM in San Diego, and 99.5 FM Ridgecrest and China Lake, exploding across more than 100,000 watts of your public terrestrial airwaves up and down the California coast, and of course, coast to coast and around the globe on kpfk.org. Glad you could join us today. I am your friendly citizen investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, and all-around swell fellow, says me, from bradblog.com. Glad you could join us here for the what I will go on record as saying is the most exciting, fastest 30-minute roller coaster, 28-minute roller coaster on broadcast radio. Glad to be here with you. It is, of course, the summer of record floods, the summer of record droughts, and the summer of record wildfires, and it continues as such. But don't worry, get nuky. All is well, at least when it comes to the nuclear facilities in at least two different states right now, which are threatened by either floods or wildfires. No earthquakes yet, but the summer is young. We will be talking to Tyson Slocum of Public Citizen about those nuclear facilities that are now at threat by the rising Missouri River waters out there in Nebraska, and by the wildfires in New Mexico at Los Alamos. We'll be talking to Tyson in just a few moments about that and about an extraordinary series of investigative reports from Jeff Don, at AP on the U.S. nuclear facilities, the aging U.S. nuclear facilities that seem to be falling apart in many cases, and yet the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission continues to change the rules to make it such that all of this falling apart, it doesn't really matter because we've changed the rules, so everything's fine and nothing to worry about. We're going to talk to him about that as well. It's really an extraordinary series of reports from AP, Jeff Don over there. And as much as I like to beat the crap out of the mainstream media because they deserve it, I also do want to point out when someone like Jeff Don over at AP does a hell of a good job with this series of investigative reports. So we're going to talk about that momentarily also with Tyson Slocum. But before that, a quick Republican War on Democracy update. Oh, brother, it never stops. Charlie White, the newly elected Republican Secretary of State, is facing now 7 felony counts. He was just elected in November of 2010. 7 felony counts, 3 of them related to voter fraud. You got that? The Charlie White, the newly elected Republican Secretary of State in Indiana, who has the most draconian photo ID restrictions on record, he is now facing 7 felony counts, 3 of them related to voter fraud, after it became clear that he was registered to vote at his ex-wife's address, where he didn't live, when he ran for Secretary of State last year, even though he hasn't lived there for a long time. He's remarried. He's moved in with his new wife at a condominium. And that address where he was registered but didn't live was in the town where he served on the town council, unlike the condominium where he actually lived. So the state Democratic Party had issued a complaint with the state recount, the Indiana State Recount Commission, on which Secretary of State Charlie White now sits, arguing that since he was not legally registered, he was not a legally registered voter when he was elected last year, his election was therefore invalid, and he should be replaced by the next highest vote getter who was legally on the ballot. In this case, it would be Democrat Vop Osili. Now, the recount commission, with two Republicans and one Democrat, initially refused to even review the Democrats' complaint, but they were ordered to do so earlier this year by a circuit court judge. The state GOP helped then to stall the commission's court-ordered review by failing to name a commission member to replace Charlie White, who had been forced, obviously, to recuse himself from that case. But the GOP finally complied once the judge ordered that they either take up the case or he would do so himself in court. So we got some new news on this yesterday. The Indiana Recount Commission determined by a 3-0 vote that Charlie White may remain as the Secretary of State in Indiana, as he was able to somehow convince the commission that he intended to someday, maybe hopefully, move back into the ex-wife's house, even though he had remarried long ago and the two have separated and he had moved into his own condominium, as I said. State Democrats may decide to take the case to court, but in the meantime, despite the Indiana Recount Commission's findings yesterday, White still faces those 7 criminal felony counts. Did I mention 3 of them were related to voter fraud by the Secretary of State, the chief's top election official? So why does all of this matter to you and me? Well, because when it comes to high-ranking GOP officials, it seems there is a far different standard for what is considered voter fraud than when, the urban, poor minorities or students read Democratic-leaning voters. When they commit similar or even far less egregious offenses. So we've seen this before. The Brad Blog reported for years. You can check it out at bradblog.com. We've been covering for years on GOP superstar Ann Coulter and her no uncertain terms case of voter fraud in Palm Beach County, Florida in 2005, when she registered at a house in which she didn't live. And then she knowingly voted at a precinct that wasn't hers. Both third-degree felonies. And then, of course, back in 2002 and 2004, when Coulter voted at another house in which she didn't live, back in Connecticut. In this case, it was her parents' house, even though she had long prior moved to the condominium that she purchased as a 40-year-old attorney and best-selling author living in Manhattan. But she was still registered at her parents' house, so everything is well. She got off the hook on both of those offenses, by the way, through trickery, through lying to the officials. She got some, in the Florida case, she got some inappropriate help from a former boyfriend at the FBI. And she otherwise ran out the statute of limitations down there in Florida. In the Connecticut case, somehow she was able to convince the Connecticut Election Commission that she was still attached somehow to her parents' house. So she got off the hook there. You can get more on all of Ann Coulter's voter fraud at bradblog.com/Coulter fraud. Bradblog.com/Coulter fraud. You can see her registration forms where she lied, where she put her real estate agent's address and everything else. Well, that pattern, the pattern of Ann Coulter, the pattern of Indiana Secretary of State Charlie White, has been repeating itself quite a bit lately. Charges were filed by GOP presidential candidate Fred Karger. He's a long-shot presidential candidate, the first openly gay presidential candidate from either of the two major parties. He filed charges against fellow GOP candidate Mitt Romney a couple of weeks ago in Massachusetts, because Mitt appears to have voted illegally in Massachusetts, where he no longer lives. He was registered, as it turns out, in his son's basement. We will have more on that in the upcoming weeks on Mitt Romney's voter fraud in the state of Massachusetts. Another GOP candidate, by the way, former Utah Governor John Huntsman, another Mormon, just saying. It doesn't matter, but I'm just saying. He is also said to have voted while being registered in a house where he no longer lived. Sound familiar? In this case, it was the governor's mansion, where he hadn't lived for 2 years since he resigned to become Obama's ambassador to China. He did, however, purchase a house in D.C. last year in June, and then despite having a house in D.C., John Huntsman went on to vote at the governor's mansion in Utah in November, where, did I mention, he didn't live. That's voter fraud. Also in Missouri, Republican U.S. Congressman Todd Akin, who is vying for the nomination to take on Senator Claire McCaskill next year, apparently he voted for some 7 years at a house in which he no longer lives. The list goes on, and it seems to be getting larger every day. Akin, by the way, was a huge supporter of Missouri's voter suppressing polling place photo ID legislation, which, if implemented, it would have kept hundreds of thousands, potentially, of legal voters from being able to cast a vote in the Show Me State, according to the Secretary of State out there. Thankfully, Missouri's photo ID law, however, was vetoed recently by the Democratic governor there, Jay Nixon. Similarly, polling place photo ID restrictions have been passed, however, in state after state since the GOP took over state houses around the country last November. Texas, Wisconsin, South Carolina, Florida, and Minnesota are just some of the... Oh, I'm sorry, not Minnesota. I don't know what I meant there. What did I mean? Oh, Maine. Are just some of the states where these laws have been passed, signed by the governor, and are likely to have a serious effect on voters, largely Democratic ones, during the 2012 election cycle, unless they can be overturned by the courts, because they are voter suppression measures. They are poll taxes. Make no mistake about it. Similar bills have been passed but vetoed recently, and that's some good news here for a change, by Democratic Governor Bev Perdue in North Carolina just last week, and by Democratic Governor John Lynch in New Hampshire this week. So there's some good news for you, and I got just a little more. A voter suppression bill in the key swing state of Ohio, though it's passed the House there, and it's likely to make its way to the newly elected Republican governor, John Kasich, or Kasich? I don't know. And I don't care. It may have hit a roadblock, when, to the surprise of many, the newly elected Republican Secretary of State, John Husted, went on the record last week to buck his party's trend and declared, oh, this is great. He said, quote, I want to be perfectly clear. When I began working with the General Assembly to improve Ohio's election system, it was never my intent to reject valid votes. I would rather have no bill than one with a rigid photo ID provision that does little to protect against fraud and excludes legally registered voters' ballots from counting. That's the Republican Secretary of State of Ohio. Good for him. And in Ohio, of all places, go figure. But whether it's Republican Secretary of State's objections, whether those will keep the bill from becoming law remains to be seen. I suspect Republicans would very much like to disenfranchise Democratic voters in the Buckeye State next year. Meanwhile, it's worth noting here, by the way, that all of these bills are coming about thanks to the U.S. Supreme Court's 2008 approval of Indiana's polling place photo ID restriction bill. Yes, Charlie White's Indiana, the Secretary of State, who's facing 3 voter fraud felony charges of his own right now, as we mentioned. Even though, by the way, supporters of that bill, as with supporters of similar bills moving through GOP state houses around the country, were unable to show a single case of voter fraud via in-person polling place impersonation, which would have been prevented by that law. It was passed nonetheless, and the Supreme Court accepted it as constitutional. In short, these bills are really solutions in search of a problem. But the Republican supporters of the bills know that, and they don't give a damn. For the record, by the way, Indiana's photo ID restrictions ended up disenfranchising untold numbers of voters in 2008, when folks such as 80 and 90-year-old nuns, World War II vets, and students were all turned away from the polling place for not having state-issued photo ID cards during the presidential election in 2008. And, of course, we will continue to follow this story and have much more on it as we get closer to the 2012 election season and your votes continue to be under assault by the Republican Party.